News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT. It is the Brett Winterbull Show. Great to be here with you. 704-570-1110. It's incredible what we're seeing in this news cycle. And we'll get into the ugly, nasty politics stuff. We will certainly dive into that. But there's a number of things that I want to kind of look at, and most of them are socially driven fights. DC crime bill, what happened in Nashville, all these sorts of things that you'd expect as one of the things that would divide the American people, but. I'm at a loss for words. And I'm going to tell you why I'm at a loss for words on something here in just a second. But again, this is all about the priority. And I think we need to take a moment and reflect on the priorities of this country. We have an incredible group of men and women who serve this country so honorably in some of the worst places in the world. These are young people who feel a calling to serve the country. These are people who go in as young as 17 or 18. And these are people who make that decision even earlier than that. No doubt you've met people in your life who come from a military family, who generation after generation, they have answered the call for the Patriots to go and defend this country, even when it comes to wars that are unpopular or things that seem to be not as important as the latest cultural drama. And then you get these other folks who decide that they want to go into the military, the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, Coast Guard. They want to go in and they want to serve, Space Force. They want to serve. And sometimes it's not popular in their families, right? Sometimes the families are like, oh, come on. What do you want to do that for? What do you want to go fight for Joe Biden, Barack Obama, Donald Trump? What do you want to go fight for those people for? And those are people who have an interior, in their interior castle inside their heart. They have a call inside them to go and serve the country. And many of them end up in some elite units, right? We know about the Navy SEALs. We know about the Green Berets. We also know about the 101st Airborne Division, the Air Assault, who are incredibly brave people that do incredibly dangerous work. And it is so heartbreaking to see the story from today and last night as we lost nine of our best who were killed in an accident involving Black Hawk helicopters at Fort Campbell in Kentucky. And this is an area that's suffered in the last few years. It's suffered because of tornadoes and floods and hurricanes and all sorts of things like this. The helicopters were from Fort Campbell, an Army installation on the Kentucky-Tennessee border. They crashed in Trigg County, Kentucky. Fort Campbell said the crash about 10 p.m. last night involved two 101st Airborne Division air assault helicopters on a routine training mission, HH-60 Blackhawks. Brigadier General John Lubes, deputy commander of the 101st Airborne Division, said Thursday morning that there were five people in one helicopter, four in the other, a fairly typical arrangement, and said that the aircraft was practicing a multi-ship formation using night vision goggles. Lubas said the helicopters were practicing medical evacuation drills. These were people who were practicing the drills to evacuate people who had been injured. And the crash appears to have occurred while they were flying, not while they were doing the exercises. These are the best people we have. These are the best people that we have because these are the people who volunteer. These folks could have gone into any line of work. They could have become TikTok influencers. They could have gone to Capitol Hill. And I'm not disparaging any line of work. If you have passion for a line of work, I respect that you have that passion. But in a time where we find it increasingly difficult to attract, to recruit people to serve in the United States military. It is so, so hard to see one of these stories and to just kind of say, well, that's just that. Too bad that happened. That's what happens when you're in the military. It's a dangerous job. You just don't know. That's just the way it works. We should be celebrating these people the way we celebrate any of the heroes in our lives. It's not that they were doing something heroic. They were doing something pretty rare in this day and age, in this culture, in this time. They were practicing selflessness. Sure, they get paid, but nowhere near what they probably deserve. These are the people that we rely on. And I couldn't help but think back to the 13 who were killed at the Abbey Gate in Kabul. And those were 13 young people who all volunteered to do the job that they did. And what's striking to me is Joe Biden will comment on chocolate chip ice cream and will talk about abortion and transgender issues and climate change and the injustice of America and the racism and the greed and the Green New Deal. I would have liked to have seen President Biden come out and make an announcement when you lose 9 of these people. It seems to me that there's a blind spot in this administration. They don't seem to like to go to the heart of America. Jill Biden is going to go and attend the memorial service for the 6 beautiful people who were murdered by a demon in Nashville. And that's fine. She's the First Lady of the United States. But it's a shame to me that we don't properly honor, that we don't properly respect what these people are doing. Because if, God forbid, Vladimir Putin decided to really escalate the war in Ukraine, those 9 people would probably be put on the front lines in Ukraine. Thank God they won't have to. And let's pray to God that it doesn't happen. Sorry, don't want to trigger any of the activists out there by invoking God. But tonight, as you sit around for your family meal or at the time at which you get ready to go to bed, say a prayer for those 9. Say a prayer for their families. Say a prayer for that community, the community of folks who are willing to step up, step into the breach, understanding full well that no day is guaranteed. That's what we should be thinking about. 704-570-1110, News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT. God bless the United States Air Forces, the Navy, the Army, the Marines, and the Coast Guard. Boomer Von Cannon, how the roads
are. Yes, amen to that, sir. Yes, sir, absolutely.
News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT, Brett Winterbull Show. How are we processing this Matt Taibbi IRS visit that came his way as he was testifying to Jim Jordan's committee? Just so happened the IRS goes to his house. I mean, everything old is new again. Everything old is new again. And you knew it was only going to be a matter of time till you busted out that playbook coming from the Obama-Biden administration. And now what you've got is you've gone from Obama-Biden to Obama-Biden-Obama. And so this is really interesting. TJ, cut number, what cut do I want? I want cut number 24. This is Representative Jim Jordan talking about IRS intimidation and how we've been down this road before. Cut 24.
I don't know. We haven't heard back from the Treasury Department or the IRS. What I do know is, and this was mentioned in the previous segment, that this happened under the Obama administration with Lois Lerner and all. And I do know during that crisis, when we were figuring all this out, that they were targeting conservative groups, Danny Werfel was brought in as one of the interim guys to run the IRS. And now he's the guy back in charge of the IRS. Well, so I don't know if there's any connection there. What I do know is this sure looks like it's more than a coincidence that it happens the very day he's testifying. You know,
stop laughing. It's not that Danny Werfel. It's Danny Werfel who ran the IRS, who's not the same guy. He's not the same guy. Well, some wise guy just said, but what about the interception? No, there was no interception. The IRS just went after Matt Taibbi. And Matt Taibbi is like a pinko commie leftist. Like, he tells you he's like a total pinko commie leftist. He's not in any way, shape, or form a Tea Party type. He doesn't wear the tri-corner hat. He's not reenacting the Boston Tea Party back in the 1700s. He's not any of that. He's just if you see him, what you see with Matt Taibbi is like what you get. He's sort of the Robin to Elon Musk's Batman. Okay. He looks like he's just kind of stunned at any given time. Like somebody just hit him in the head and he's standing there doing interviews, and he wrote for Rolling Stone. He lived in Russia for a period of time. So this guy's not like, he's not a John Bircher. He's not a World Net Daily guy. He's not on there with Alex Jones. Although I bet he would go on with Alex Jones because he's the kind of guy that just talks to people. And so he goes to testify 2 weeks ago about what was going on with all the Twitter stuff. And then that same day, a random IRS agent shows up at his house and says he wants to talk to him about identity theft, that there was an issue with his tax returns involving identity theft, which is so weird. It's like, what are you trying to get in his house? And this is what we now have. This is the situation we now have. Because when you're not able, and this is sort of the metric you should keep in mind, the Biden administration has a go-to playbook. And their go-to playbook is one of two things. If they're in control of the Congress, they will deploy the attack dogs like Adam Schiff, right, to go and try to make your life miserable. If they're not in control, they have Antifa, rioters, things that are like intimidation stuff. And then what they've got as the third option is deploying federal agencies against people. Merrick Garland, right? There's a guy who got arrested on January 6th who has been in the jail in Washington, D.C. for 800 days and hasn't been arraigned and hasn't had a trial. They just grabbed him and put him in a jail cell in Washington, D.C. for 800 days. Somebody ought to reach out to Amnesty International and declare that this guy needs to have a fair trial. You got to be able to put him in front of a judge and let his case get adjudicated. But what they're doing is they're just taking people and leaving them locked up in the gulag. It's a gulag approach, very similar to that reporter that just got kidnapped by Vlad Putin. So this is the sort of intimidation stuff that goes on. And remember, I played you the clip the beginning of this week, like Monday, I played the clip of Janet Yellen saying the reason why the people don't like the IRS is they can't get a phone call answered. And that's why the IRS has a bad reputation. And the lawyer, the congressman, Congressman Amaday goes, really? Really, Janet Yellen? I mean, here we go. Here, fire it up. Go for it.
The agency has been resource starved, and it's not been able to invest in the kind of technology that makes it.
Is it your testimony that you think it's because of resource starvation that the IRS has a alleged reputation amongst taxpayers in this country? Is that your testimony? Is it because they were starved of resources in order to have a better reputation?
People know that if you call the IRS, the phone isn't answered.
Hold on a minute. I think she's trying to tell us a truth. She's trying to tell you that if you call the IRS, your phone isn't answered. If you call the IRS, Joe Biden, they will deploy against your political enemies. It just depends on which you are you. 704-570-1110, News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT. I know who this is. This is Anna Erickson with a dynamite update. News Talk 1110 99.3 WBT. My name is Brett Winterbull. What's yours? 704-570-1110. It's good to be with you today. I want to jump on with Jim from San Diego, because I have a question for him. Jim in San Diego, are you there, sir?
Yes, I am. I'm standing by.
I have a question for you. We obviously saw this horrible, horrible accident in Kentucky at Fort Campbell that took place overnight, which is an absolutely terrible thing in every possible way. When they have an incident like that, do you have any knowledge that will the other branches then go and try to make sure that whatever this was with the 101st, it will not be repeated by the Navy, the Marines, what have you? Do the other units kind of go on an alert to make sure that that same mistake doesn't get made? Is it a teaching event for everybody inside the Pentagon?
Yeah, I know from aviation, from being involved with the Naval Aviation Community, that any aviation mishaps or accidents that are the Department of Defense at all, they're taken and they're studied in one way, shape, or form. We would stop and have a safety meeting, an impromptu safety meeting, for half hour, 15 minutes, reminding us of, you know, how it relates to our aircraft, what happened with this accident that happened somewhere else in the world with our armed forces, and the similar cases, the similar set of circumstances that could lead us to make the same mistake and how to avoid it. Complacency would be a big one. Back during the Cold War,
yeah,
thinking that there wasn't an enemy there, and just thinking, we're just doing this. This is a dry one. We're just going through this for no reason. They're just keeping me up for no reason, was a big one. That and a data information, the information was allowed by that was being brought into the cockpit for the pilots and the co-pilots. It was data overload was a big one. A lot of the seminars had to do with data overload because of the new generation of aircraft that displayed so much information at the same time.
That's really good to that's good to know. Now I understand you have some sort of news coming out of the West Coast. What have you got there, my friend?
Yes, we have good news. I know this is a tragic story. I know we have a lot of things that we have to contemplate in a negative fashion, but we have good news about a good victory. We've sent one of their Pinko battle wagons to the bottom today, and they didn't even have to fire a shot. They were apparently tinkering or dealing with some Peruvian bombshells, and it blew up in their face. And
what do you mean?
We're talking about Nathan Fletcher, who was apparently involved in an adulterous affair with some lady from Peru.
Oh.
And he was involved with her at the workplace, where he was the leader of the MTS. He was the superintendent of MTS. And he felt like he was compelled, for whatever reason, to have an interpersonal physical relationship with her.
Yeah.
At the office spaces, in some cases, at a hotel room that he was being provided while his house was being worked on, out in the parking lot near his house.
Yeah.
And she decided that so she got fired. She was fired from MTS. That it was he was at, you know, he was to blame for it because he went off to run for the Senate seat and left her.
Yeah.
You know, hold the bag. So
okay. All right. So let me. I want to translate the relevancy of this to the people that are listening here in North Carolina and beyond, South Carolina and beyond. Okay. So this guy is your prototype weasel politician. He ran for Congress as a Republican, and then he was rejected because he was a rhino. And then he ran for Congress as an independent, and he lost. And then he ran as a liberal, and he lost. And then he ended up running for like local sort of county commission stuff and all that sort of stuff. But the reason why this matters to you guys is you'll remember a while back, like a year and a half ago, Uber was being targeted. They were trying to make anybody who worked for Uber join the union. Remember this thing? It was called SB5 out of California. And they were trying to take anybody who worked any gig economy, they were trying to put you into the union. They were Lyft. They were doing Lyft. They were doing Uber. They were doing DoorDash, all that sort of stuff. They were trying to say you had to join a union to do that. And then on top of that, they also were making people who were freelancers. Like if you were a blogger or a photographer, a couple of hours a month, they were making you join union. They were trying to put you in unions. And people were like, what the heck is all this? Because they wanted to get to keep the union situation in California as strong as it could be. His wife conjured up that policy from hell. The wife that this guy cheated on did that. And the guy is just, if you can think of anybody, wherever you're listening, the most weaselly politician in your lifetime that you remember on the local or state level, that's this guy. This guy is terrible. And when people would come and testify and tell him, you're wrecking my business, I can't do... these things that you're telling me to do, he would just sneer at him and be like, too bad, you're going to have to join. This guy is really, he's a guy that would be that would be right there after Gavin Newsom to maybe run for governor. Like, he's such a dirtbag. And so this is
it's a great victory for us. There's another thing that he did. He helped Todd Gloria, the mayor here, sponsor a bill to give vouchers for homeless people for hotel rooms. Well, that has resulted in
two
underage girls being raped in a hotel
here
in El Cajon.
Yep.
And one shot in the head.
Yeah.
So he got
a bad dude.
What he deserved.
Yep.
And
he's a bad
hopefully
dude.
Hopefully there'll be many more like him.
I hope she sues the pants off of him. Oh, wait, it sounds like he already might have. Jim, good call. I appreciate you being there. I mean, that's when people say things like, where does AOC come from? Where does the squad come? Who are these people? I never heard of them before. Now they're afflicting the whole country. This guy is one of those people where the people go, where the heck did this guy come from? You have to pay such close attention. Like, think of the people who are currently in the Charlotte City Council, okay, or are in the State Assembly, and you have to remember, when these people move up, all they're doing is getting more power. They're not smarter. They're not better. They're not happier. They just want more power. Once upon a time, Nancy Pelosi was an irrelevant cog on a giant left-wing wheel. And she ended up being the Speaker of the Louse, which is terrible. I mean, come on. We got to pick better people. We got to pick people that don't just represent our values, but understand the struggles of small business people and all that sort of stuff. That's what we have got to do. You need to project your values, your needs on these politicians rather than having them come up to you, talk to you, sweet talk you out of your vote, and then you find out they're dropping trow faster than William Jefferson Blythe Clinton. 704-570-1110, News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT. Boomer Von Cannon.
Yes, sir.
I mean, you know, dropping trow is just, that's not right, man.
No.
You can't do that.
No.
You know what? You got to wear a belt and suspenders so you're totally covered, and you don't do that.
That's right.
That's all
keep
I'm saying.
Keep those suspenders tight, too, man.
Yeah,
keep them tight. Don't let them droop.
Woo! That's it, man. The elastic ones
with the
clips at the bottom.
Yes, sir.
I like them.
That's
I like
it.
News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT, Brett Winterbull Show. I don't understand why they don't have a channel on TV that shows old newscasts, like an old newscast channel, from a reasonable period of time, like from the 70s to like today. And they should start at the beginning. I would watch old newscasts. I think it would be interesting to see sort of the mores of society itself, how it was we handled certain things. Like, for example, right? 3 Mile Island. Remember, 3 Mile Island was like really super scary. And then it wasn't, any of these sorts of things. I think there ought to be a channel where if you don't like today's news, on TV, you can go watch like the news from 1978. And I mean, you'll obviously understand that you're not really living in 1978, but you might feel a little bit better. You're also going to see a whole ton of coverage with the cults, with different cults. Like, cults were huge in the 70s. I mean, that was like a constant nonstop topic. I'm wondering about the culture of the cult though. At this stage of the game, and I'll comment on that later, but can somebody explain to me, and I'm being judicial about this, can somebody explain to me what the heck is going on in Winston-Salem? Can somebody please tell me what is going on in Winston-Salem where a drag queen appeared to perform a lap dance on a student at a pride event with high schoolers? Forsyth Technical Community College hosted a pride festival on March 22nd that boasted drag shows, contraceptives, and lured students in with free food and drinks. The festival was produced by Forsyth Tech's Pride Club and was joined by organizations like Prevent Ongoing Spread of STIs Everywhere, which is commonly referred to as POSSE, P-O-S-S-E, Prevent Ongoing Spread of STIs Everywhere, a program of the Forsyth County Health Department. Ironically, various churches and ministers were actually invited to the event. Now, you can go to whatever event you want to go to. I mean, you're getting ready to go off to college. You know, you want to learn some stuff. Fine. That's great. The college is located in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, has two high schools on the main campus. The Pride Fest was open to all students on campus, including those who were under 18. Flyers for the event were displayed around the campus, giving details of the festival and the drag performances that would occur. In an explicit video obtained by Libs of TikTok, one drag queen was seen performing a lap dance for someone reported to be a student, while others cheered and the staff looked on and laughed. Some parents were outraged that, although faculty members and campus police were present, no one attempted to ensure the underage students were prevented from participating in the drag event. Forsyth Tech maintained that faculty, staff, and campus police were there to, quote, make sure this was a safe event for our students. So this is a person who was at the drag event, and this is a person for whom it has been reported in some of the other outlets out there that this was a person who just climbed right on top of the student. I mean, maybe I want to go to a movie, but I don't want the actors climbing up all over me in real life. I mean, there is such a thing as, you know, go along, get along, I guess. But you look at this and you say to yourself, well, this is interesting. My kids, and I remember being a kid. I wasn't a kid like so long ago that it was like Fred Flintstone era. But I remember you'd fill out a permission slip to go to the thing, whatever the thing was, college tour, an academic competition, a sporting competition, you know, something like that. So you'd fill out the permission slip, and the permission slip would say, on March 22nd, we're going to be going to Forsyth Tech, and we're going to be attending a drag show with the potential for grinding. Yeah, I'm thinking my parents would have been like, is this really what you want to do? I mean, I don't know. It was a different time, right? It would have been like the 1978 news time. But this is going on like with increasing frequency. And it's not just that. Remember, I was giving you warnings about the politicians that you elect. You have to like be concerned about the politicians you elect. This Nathan Fletcher guy was just an exhibit that I was using to make that point. But a Democrat warns that California is moving towards state-sanctioned kidnapping with mental health bill for minors. Children as young as 12 would be given the power to place themselves in residential shelters with the help of a counselor. A California Democrat mother is sounding the alarm over a bill that would allow mental health professionals take children as young as 12 away from their families so they can seek gender-affirming care without parental consent. So these are kids as young as 12. Like 12. Parental rights advocate Erin Friday discussed her concerns. It's an abrogation of parental rights once again here in California. It's as if we get to parent our kids until they're 12 and then the state gets to take them. I call this bill the state-sanctioned kidnapping bill because there doesn't need to be any allegation of abuse against a parent or a serious threat of suicide of the child before a school counselor can unilaterally decide to take that child and place them in a residential facility. It means a child can go to a school counselor and say they're transgender and their parents won't support them. That child can then be taken and put in an LGBTQ community facility and not come home from school that day. Now, you could blow this off. This is hysteria. You could say all that sort of stuff. But remember, all the worst ideas that have ever emanated into the broader the broader spectrum of the United States of America began where? California. All the worst ideas come from California. Catalytic converters, that came from California. I mean, you name it. All that stuff that comes out of California is dangerous to you. And so I don't know what the end state game on this thing is going to be, but I can tell you this right now. I think there's a lot of people that are going to have a lot of questions, and it won't matter because the people that have the questions are going to be outnumbered by the progressive left-wing activists, the people that control the universities and the people that control the schools and the people that control, you know, all that sort of stuff. And I could just sit back and be like, well, that's out in California where they're wackos. I just told you about what went on in Winston-Salem at the school. And maybe you have an opinion on that. Maybe you don't. Maybe you'd have an opinion on it if your kid was there. Maybe you think it's great. Maybe you think it's cool. Maybe you think that that posse message is important, you know, to stop getting sexually transmitted diseases. I don't know. There is room for you to comment on any of the stuff we've talked about so far. Plus, we got stuff coming down the road. Coming down the road. News Talk 1110 993 WBT. News Talk 1110 993 WBT, Brett Winterville Show. 704-570-1110 is our phone number. So Frontier's CEO is now reacting. Barry Biffle is his name. He's reacting to the FAA's warning of summer delays. So they already know that there's going to be summer delays now on March 30th. They know that this summer there will be delays. Why? Because you've got a shortage of pilots. Why do we have a shortage of pilots? Because COVID caused people to retire. And many of the airlines fired people who would not take the jab. Just like the military fired lots of people who would not take the jab. You know, it's remarkable. I was having this conversation this past weekend with a couple of people. And we were talking about remembering when stuff worked in this country. And I know it's going to sound really weird to kind of posit this way, but I was talking, Sherry and I were talking about this, and she had raised this with me, and she said, do you remember when stuff worked in the country? When like stuff, you went to the airport, you got a ticket, or you went there with your ticket, you got on the plane and you traveled. And you were also allowed to greet grandma and grandpa when they got off the plane at the gate. And they didn't strip search you to get on a flight, and people knew how to behave themselves. You didn't have people cutting their toenails on aircraft, shooting shards of filthy, yucky toenails all over the place. People weren't putting their hair over the back of the seat. You didn't have drooling weirdos talking to themselves, telling people that they were going to take the plane down. Yeah, you had hijackings back in the 70s. Right? Take me to Cuba, right? All that kind of stuff. But do you remember when the airports worked? In Chicago, homeless people are in the airports. And they're like all over the airport. Like you decide, hey, I'm going to go to Chick-fil-A and get a sandwich. Oh, no, sorry, there's homeless people cutting their toenails right outside the bathroom there in front of the place. Do you remember when you could ride a train? Do you remember when you could ship something by a train? Now we've got derailments. Every 20 minutes, we've got derailments. You got a terrible one that went up there. It's got ethanol up in Minnesota. You had one in North Dakota. Where the heck is Petey Buttigieg? Where is Buttigieg? Do you remember when stuff worked? It's like stuff just stopped working. And And I guess we could blame COVID. We could say, well, it's COVID. You know, COVID caused that. COVID caused that. At some point, COVID's over, man. All right. I was talking to Brett Jensen, and he said he was looking at the COVID numbers in North Carolina, and there's like everywhere's green. It's like there's no COVID like happening right now here. Okay, it's not happening. Am I crazy? Please, I will clear the lines for this at 704-570-1110. Do you remember when stuff worked? Do you remember when people were concerned about stealing stuff out of people's cars? They were concerned about getting caught stealing. They were concerned if they got caught with dope. They were concerned if they got caught trying to commit a homicide. They were like, there was once upon a time, the criminals were criminals, but they've lost all fear. Do you remember when you sent your kids to school and, okay, maybe in fourth or fifth or sixth grade, you'd take a field trip on the 1st of May and go frolic in a park because the hippies wanted to do that. But most of the time, you were excited when you were in elementary school young and you would go to the police department and you'd see the police cars and you'd see the policemen and they'd show you booking photos and they'd maybe let you tase someone. No, that didn't really happen. But you go to the fire station, you'd meet the mailman, you'd find out, you'd go out like, let's look at the community helpers. Let's see what people are doing as their jobs. Even if you were really lucky, your school would bring people in and they'd talk about their jobs. You had show and tell, and it did not involve sex toys or ideology. It just was, hey, this is a rock my grandma gave me from the Grand Canyon. Do you remember that? I remember all this. I know I'm not crazy. I know I'm not crazy. I know we once had a country that functioned and functioned well. As one of my friends, Don, says, do you remember getting your butt paddled pretty good if you did something stupid in class? That did happen too. That's the thing. You look at this, it's, I don't know about this. There was once upon a time, there was once upon a time you had a very poignant song written by Merle Haggard. Are the good times really over for good, right? Where he was talking about a smoke was a smoke and all that sort of stuff. How did it get away from us? I don't think it's laziness. Like, I don't think people just got lazy. I see people working. I don't think people are uncaring about their themselves. I know that there is a huge epidemic of selfishness. I get that. But how does the selfishness then translate into moronic chaos? Like literally moronic chaos. So chaos created by moronic decisions. Where did this come from? I mean, I could easily take a magic poll and ask the people who drive trucks around Charlotte, you know, how much worse are the drivers driving these cars and just being maniacs? I could ask people who fly for a living, how badly behaved are people? How do we get to this place? I mean, we could ask all those questions. I know I'm not crazy. I know this country once functioned pretty well. It really even, honestly, let's be honest here for a quick second. I know the man is in hospice. But like the country functioned during Carter, it was bumpy and terrible, but you were able to go to a supermarket and purchase a steak. It was expensive. There was inflation. You didn't want to take out a mortgage at 13%, 19%. But even with incompetent, maniacal political leaders, and I'm not saying that about Carter, I'm just saying in general, the country still functioned. Was it the greatest generation? Was it because the baby boomers raised the millennials and the The Gen Yers? Is that what is it? What caused all this? How does one end up with a president called Biden? 704-570-1110 News Talk 1110-993-WBT. Boomer Von Cannon.
Yo, man. I could use some Merle Haggard right about now.
I'll tell you what, man. I'm going to tell you something right now. It all went to pot.
Yeah.
It all went to pot when they put the restrictor plates in the race cars.
Absolutely.
That's it right there, man.
You're trying to hold back a lean, mean fighting machine.
I want Cale Yarborough going over another car and still pumping the gas, and you hear the pump going as he's vaulting the other car.
And the smoke just billowing out from inside the car.
Amen.
Yeah, man.
How we doing?
You see streaks up and down the side of the car, all the paint been knocked off.
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
And you know what? And you know what you did? You grabbed a hammer and some Bondo, and you went back to work.
That's it. That's
aerodynamic what?
Grab the duct tape, boys. We got to finish this race.
News Talk 1110-993-WBT. Breaking, Brett Jensen joining us here on the Brett Winterville Show with news and information for each and every one of you. Breaking, Brett, good to have you back.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
What are you working on as it relates to a press conference earlier today?
Yeah, so we had a press conference with the city that started, was supposed to start at 2, and it started closer to 2:10 because there were technical issues, which I don't understand. There always seems to be technical issues with them. But but nonetheless, so it was about an update on the cats situation. And if you remember, and the listeners remember, I guess it was about a month ago or so, sometime in February, when it was announced in the middle of a city council meeting, like, oh, yeah, by the way, there was a train derailment last year.
Right.
With the cats, with the blue line, the light rail. And every member of the city council and everyone's like, wait, what? Like, oh, yeah, you didn't know about that? No. And so none of the public knew. None of the city council members knew. Nobody knew. And the city manager, Marcus Jones, had said at that time that, hey, I found out just pretty much what everybody else found out in February. Well, he started the press conference today by saying that he had actually received a text message on May 21st of last year going, hey, we've had a train derailment, not like a car came off the tracks or was on its side or anything like that. It was like one wheelbase in the middle. It wasn't like the front wheelbase or the back wheelbase of a car. There's like three wheelbases, and one of the wheelbases came off the rails a little bit. And then they immediately got everyone out. No one was injured. It was no big deal. But he admitted that he had been told about it in May. And last year, May, and just either didn't see it, forgot about it, whatever. And so that was the first thing that started. And then it started down this whole process of, yeah, we were looking for a new CAT CEO. We've decided to suspend that coverage or that search for the next 6 months. We're going to keep Brent Cagle, who's the head of the CLT airport, the fifth busiest airport in the world.
Right.
And so he's going to be remaining as an interim CEO of CATS for the next 6 months as they try to straighten a lot of the messes out. And then there were a lot of the intricate details. Oh, we're planning on doing this, or we're looking at doing that. And there were a lot of things like that. But most of it was centered around the fact that the city manager had been told about it back in May, 10 months ago. And also the fact that the CEO search is going to be suspended for 6 months as they try to straighten all this mess out before bringing someone else in. And, so basically they don't want to try and hire someone while the roof is on fire.
So that's the long and short of it, no doubt. Do you know what percentage of people actually ride the CAT system?
That's a great question. I mean, that is a really good question. And that, I don't know, and the reason, the light rail used to be used a lot pre-COVID.
Right.
Because people actually took it to uptown to work, because that's when you actually had to work in an office, not
sure.
Remote. And so it was used quite a bit. It was, the light rail was used quite a bit. People would park down at, you know, at Arrowwood or down in Ballantyne and then take it all the way in. A, you're saving gas, right. And B, you could also work on things, you know, maybe on your laptop or whatever, or just relax while you're coming back from work or going to work or whatever. And a lot of people took it, like, you know, rode it just like they do in other major metropolitan cities. But in terms of the buses, I don't know what percentage of people, like, I think most people rode it maybe once or twice a year. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe you want to go uptown for a concert or right. something like that, and you didn't want to spend $25 to park. And so things like that.
Yeah.
But in terms of regular usage, mm-hmm. say weekly usage, since COVID, numbers have to be extremely way down.
Well, fiscal year 2019, which would have been the last one before COVID, they served 72,678 weekday daily trips for the city of Charlotte, the size that it is. So
yeah, and like I said, you know, that's about the time that we passed San Francisco and became the 15th biggest city population-wise in the country. Yeah,
there you go. Breaking Brett Jensen. You've got Breaking with Brett Jensen tonight, I anticipate.
Yeah, we've got David Hodges from WBTV is going to come in. We're going to really go through and break down some of the stuff with cats. Not get into the minutiae, but all the highlights and all the big-time details that people need to know about the light rail and everything else.
Great stuff. Looking forward to it, my friend. Enjoy the rest of your afternoon.
Thank you, sir. You too.
You got it. I'm Brett Witterbull. This is Anna Erickson with the update. News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT, Brett Witterbull Show. Coming up later in the program, we've got tickets we're giving away. Amazing tickets to the Winery Dogs. You're going to want to go to this show. The Winery Dogs featuring, of course, as you well know, Mike Portnoy, Billy Sheehan, Richie Kotzen. And it's going to be at the Underground on Sunday night, April the 2nd. We are certainly looking forward to giving those tickets away. We'll be giving them away in the 5 o'clock hour. So stick around, stay tuned, and keep listening. 704-570-1110. One of the other things that's happening out there is going to be revealed in a matter of moments, but let's jump out and talk with Gigi, who's been patiently holding on. Gigi, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hey, Brett, how you doing?
Doing great, thanks.
Awesome. Hey, I just wanted to comment, and full disclosure, A, thank you for taking my call. B, I chimed or checked in just at the top of the hour, so if my comments are redundant, forgive me. But you were asking about sort of how we got here, and I think it's a couple of things. Number one, you have career politicians who have never held a real job, so they've never made a payroll. No one's ever held them accountable for getting results, so they don't know how to solve problems. They don't really, and they don't deal with real problems. They deal with symptoms.
Yes, that's a really good point.
I read an article this morning about how it's opening day in baseball, and so in Denver, they're moving all the homeless people away from Coors Field because they don't want the fans to see this encampment. You know what? But we're not dealing with the root cause of homelessness. So I think there's that. They don't know how to solve real world problems because they're not critical thinkers. They're not strategic thinkers. And the second piece is the baby boomers raised the snowflake generation. So we have a whole bunch of feelers and they don't think. So they're not really thinking about what the consequences of electing someone like Joe Biden are. I mean, it blows my mind.
Why do you think, like, okay, if you could put yourself in the place of somebody who voted for Joe Biden. Just pretend for a minute you could do that. What do you think would be the motivation for someone to vote for him? Certainly, given the outcomes, I mean, I can't imagine that people are like excited about it. What do you think it was that drove people to vote for him?
I mean, from my perspective, it was more. It wasn't Trump. I mean, Trump can be his own worst enemy, you know, but I have a lot more money in my 401k when Donald Trump was president.
Right,
you know,
right.
Eggs were cheaper, you know, people were employed. So I don't know. I just find it interesting. People have become so dependent on wanting someone else to solve their problems.
That's what it is. No, what you just gave me is that's what the answer is. People, and they won't admit this, but they operate from this orientation. Okay, you have a substantial number of people in our country who still want mommy and daddy to fix whatever it is. They don't want to do the work of fixing the problem. Remember, the Obama administration came out with the notion that you're not an adult until you're 26. Do you remember that? Until you're 26. So who thinks like that? Like, I'm an X guy. I'm a Gen X guy. All right. My POV was graduate high school, go to college or get a job and move out from home as soon as I could. Not because I didn't like my parents, not because I loved my parents. My parents were awesome, actually. I just felt like it was time to jump out of the nest and go try to make it on my own. I knew if I crashed and burned, I'd be welcomed back home. But I wanted to go out there and do my thing, man. And that's why I lived in the South Bronx for 5 years, because that's what I could afford for an apartment. And so, you know, you look at, I think over, we have got a lot of arrested development with people in this country who just never grew up. And it's not even their fault, right? Because when you do Everybody Gets a Trophy, you've damaged those kids for life. I mean, for life, and they can't help it. They can't help it.
Well, and then I'm amazed. It's like you were saying, we're probably fairly close in age, would be my guess. But
yeah,
it was the same thing for me. I wanted to go be independent and do my thing. You have kids now. I mean, I couldn't wait to get my driver's license.
That's right.
My birthday is a national holiday, so I had to wait a day to get my license.
Wait, are you a 4th of July? Are you 4th of July? Are you a 4th of July kid?
Actually, I was born on the same day as another great American, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.
Oh, very good. Okay, I got it. I got it. Yeah.
But you have kids who are 16 and they don't want to drive.
I know.
I'm like, don't you want to be independent? Don't you want to? I mean, life is so interesting.
Right?
Don't you want to go live it?
I mean,
the pastor finally said at one point, get out of your parents' basement and stop playing video games and go get a girlfriend. Like,
but here's the problem. But here's the problem. Do you have any pets? You have a cat or a dog or anything?
No pets right now.
But if you have a pet, right, it's like just take your cat and tell them that they got to go out there in the world. I mean, it's the same practical effect. If you don't have the skill sets, then you don't know what you can't do. But at the same time, I mean, gosh, do you know, Gigi, this is just you and me talking, like we're off the air now. I'm just kidding. But do you know how rich we could get just by showing up and doing good work at companies if we were 21 years old with the work ethic we have, like that has been built inside of us? You can kill in a good way and make so much money if you just put your nose to the grindstone. But everybody wants to take photographs of their feet and post tweets about stuff that doesn't matter. Man, I look at my kid. My kid is 18. My son's 18. My daughter's not 18. She's a little bit older. And I look at them and I'm like, man, I could go to town in this world because people don't want to work. They don't want to work. Like, I would work six jobs. I would work six jobs and save every penny I had. I mean, it's to me, it's incredible. I love the adventure of a challenge. And I don't know why there are people who are afraid of it. I really don't. There are no Lewis. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I mean, I don't know. I've been really fortunate and had a lot of amazing opportunities, but I would also like to think that part of that has to do with, I have a bargaining chip, which is a skill set that's in demand.
Right.
And so I have the opportunity, you know, in my consulting practice to go help people grow their business and do things but I love the challenge of coming in and picking it apart and seeing what's wrong and helping somebody solve a complex problem. I find that whole thing fascinating.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't want to just sit around and curse the darkness. You want to fix stuff. See, that's how I am. I'm the same way.
Well, I just never wanted to be dependent on anybody else either. And you know, it's interesting. A colleague and I were talking about this earlier today about sort of the rugged individualism of America, you know, that our country was really founded by men who did not want to be under the thumb of someone else. You know,
That's
they
right.
wanted to live independently and to pursue you know, the dreams that they had and on their terms and all of that. And so it's a different thing. We, you know, we'll do some work with a global company, and the cultures around the world are vastly different from the way America was founded.
It's true.
And so it's just a different mindset, but we're losing it because the generations that have come after us are not asking what they can do for their country. They're asking what their country or their parents are going to do for them. And I just can't. So foreign to me, but I guess we're just
good stuff.
Different.
Good stuff. I appreciate you, Gigi. You're always a great call. Thanks so much. News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT. Boomer's got a look at the road. News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT. Coming up in the next segment after the top of the hour, Beth Troutman's going to come by. We're going to cross the streams. There's this story moving. I'm going back to the phones. Don't worry. Marine Corps chief warns his forces are at the lowest levels in recent history, says the amphibious fleet is just 35% of what's needed to keep China at bay in the Pacific. Marine Commandant General David Berger testified before the Senate Appropriations Committee that the branch needs more amphibious ships, that the fleet is only at 35% capacity of what's required for the U.S. to maintain both a military and humanitarian presence in the Pacific region. Said two decades of land-based conflicts had shifted the Marines' focus from sea-based combat, and that the branch should begin returning to those roots. This is a very serious state of circumstances here. Berger told the magazine Newsweek that such Marine units were not only used for combat readiness, but intended to provide assistance to allies in the region dealing with humanitarian crises or natural disasters. He also said if the U.S. does not continue to assist allies in need, China will fill that gap. So we are well short. The fleet is at 39% readiness in 2015. It had a high of 55% in 2012. This is a big deal. We've got to pay close attention to this. It's huge. Mike, welcome to the show. Hello, Mike. What's on your mind?
Hello.
How are you?
Good. Just my opinion. I think in large part, it's the sins of the parents.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just that. Some folks mentioned, you know, politicians, that's a piece of it. The schools where basic skills are not taught, and it's more focus on all this ideology that,
yes,
that other folks espouse. But I think that many parents have a little bit more apathy than they should have,
yep,
in guiding their kids to how to take care of themselves, because the government is not going to do it. They're going to do it to a point.
That's right.
Where they can control you. And
okay.
You create this cycle of dependency.
Yep.
Which is exactly what they want.
Now, here's what's interesting about this, right? You have trade schools, right? You got schools that are schools of the arts and trade schools and things like that. You can have ideology schools just to advertise them as ideology schools, where you're going to take your kid and turn them into some little activist something, and they can go to that school. You could send your kid to that school. They can go get all the activism they want. You're a progressive liberal. Good. There you go. Send it to the Bill Ayers Elementary School and the Abby Hoffman Junior High School and the Vladimir Lenin High School. You know, just send them there. Let them go get that out of their system, do their thing, and let regular people then just go get trades and schools and education. And let's just see how many people sign up for the crazy kook school and how many people sign up for the regular normal school. And I'll bet you a lot more people are going to go to the regular normal school than the Vladimir Lenin High School.
Yeah, and they want to erase history or create a revisionist history.
That's right.
And they don't understand the Bolsheviks had the Politburo.
That's right. This is right.
The messaging.
You know what?
What you got with media.
You know what? You're right. There should be a conservative ideology school, too, so that you can learn the truth of the sins of communism and Marxism and fascism and understand that America's the great liberator. That's it. Yeah. Just wait. mark my words, you got that movie coming out about Robert Oppenheimer developing the atomic bomb. It's coming out in the summer. Well, get ready to get the whole speech about why we're evil for using the nukes to stop the Japanese militarism. Watch, they're going to turn us into the villains. I guarantee it.
Yeah, probably crazy. Will. If they knew history, how many American lives would have
Amen.
Been?
A million. We would have lost a million taking Japan. It would have been. They'd have been fighting until 1948. Great stuff, Mike. Appreciate you being there. This is Dr. Bob. Hey, Dr. Bob.
How you doing, Brett?
Doing great.
I tell you, I work with a company, large company in Charlotte. They're off of 485 and I-85. And yes. I run into what you're talking about all the time with the Gen Zs and millennials and whatever. I'm a baby boomer myself.
Yes, sir.
And it brings back memories of a commercial I keep seeing on TV recently of a mortgage company that is willing to help you sell your house and all, and mom and dad are going for the deal, but they said, can you help us get our son out of the house? And it switches to a guy sitting at the on the couch, and the real estate person, mortgage person sitting there, and the guy looks at dad and says, but dad, who's going to cook my breakfast? And he's 26 years old.
There you go. See? That's
there
what
you go. I
that's
mean,
that's what we got.
And you mentioned something, or somebody mentioned something earlier about no motivation.
Yes, sir.
There is no motivation for people and has not been for the younger generation since welfare started.
Oh, that's a fair point, Dr. Bob. I appreciate you being out there. I'll espouse on that straight ahead. By the way, Beth Troutman comes by next. We're going to talk about all the big stuff that's out there happening. And your phone calls are welcome. By the way, I'm going to be in for Mark Garrison tonight till 7. So let's really, really amp it up with TJ, Tommy, Boomer, Anna, and Brett. News Talk 1110-993-WBT. News Talk 1110-993-WBT. It is the Brett Witterbull Show, 704-570-1110. We cross the streams AM and PM every single day at this time. And today, welcoming back to the program, one of my favorite hosts on all of Good Morning BT, Beth Troutman, joining us. Hello, Beth. How are you?
I'm one of your two favorite hosts on all of Good Morning BT. I'm so flattered.
In the entirety of Good Morning BT, you are one of my favorite hosts. It's really a real pleasure to finally get to know you a little bit. How are you?
Oh, well, I am flattered. And you know what? Tomorrow, we're actually celebrating the one-year anniversary of Good Morning BT.
What? Oh, these kids, they grow so fast. Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Can you believe it?
No, I can't.
So much fun and such a remarkable experience working with not only the team at Good Morning BT, but with you and with Pete Callender and with Brett Jensen and, I mean, with Mark Garrison. It has just been such a remarkable experience that I feel like it's been a month or maybe a month and a half. Mm-hmm. The fact that an entire year has passed is unbelievable to me. And so it's a big thank you to you and to everybody there at WBT, because it's just been one of the best professional experiences of my life.
And that's so sweet of you to say. But you know, the thing, I get asked this all the time, and I know pretty much everybody on every show is going to agree with me. These are shows where, like, we all like each other. There's no like feuding in the hallway, or I don't talk to them. And I mean, even the whole building itself, like between all the stations that are in our building, everybody gets along. But all the different shows, like, we see each other, we get excited, it's fun. And when we get to do like some event, Hancock's Bikes for Kids or going out to Monroe for Crime Stoppers or anything like that, it's really cool because we get to see each other, and that's what's really fun. And we do really like each other. People ask me that all the time.
It's actually an anomaly, I think, more so than people think in a business like ours, because some people are competitive, or you think, you know, people get egos involved. And we just have such a lovely respect and admiration, all of us, for each other and each other's levels of talent. And we all have different levels of talent and different perspectives that we bring to the table. And I mean, it's a beautiful potion that
sure
we've created.
All right. Let's I'm going to pivot to something kind of unconventional, nothing weird, but this is an interesting story.
Yeah, yeah.
Remember when the J6 tapes were released by Speaker McCarthy and Tucker Carlson aired them on television?
Yeah.
And it was a huge thing a few weeks back. The QAnon shaman, Jacob Chansley, has been released from prison 14 months early because they're saying the videos that they saw didn't feature him breaking stuff and fighting cops. And they saw him kind of getting led around by the Capitol Police, looking at different things and whatever. So he's been released 14 months early from prison. I'm wondering if this is going to have a waterfall effect. He's now in a halfway house.
I wondered the same thing. I saw the article a little bit earlier today because his attorney made the argument that the evidence, those video moments that were shown by Tucker Carlson, that evidence was exculpatory. And obviously a judge agreed and here he is in a place, I think, kind of waiting to see what the next thing is that happens. And I think it will probably be one of those instances on a case by case basis, you know, because there's video evidence that shows people doing different things at different moments at different times and getting caught up in the moment. And I would imagine that this is something that we're going to see on a case to case basis. But I would imagine that every attorney for every person who has been charged, which I think is a little more than 1,000 people over the course of the last, you know, year and a half, that, or 2 years, almost 2 years, which is crazy to think about. I guess it's been a year and a half, really, more than anything. That each attorney is probably saying, all right, we need to go back and rethink what happened to my client. And so we may see more of this happen. We may see more people try to make this happen for their clients and can't. I think it will be really an interesting thing to watch. But like you said, I think we will see a waterfall of sorts. I don't know that we'll necessarily see everyone get out for, you know, early, but I think we may see at least their attorneys trying.
Yeah, it's the one thing I think we can say with near biblical certitude is that anybody who's getting released as part of these tapes or any that there is very likely a near zero possibility that there's going to be recidivism. Like I got to believe that these people, him in particular, I got to believe he's not going anywhere near the Capitol for the rest of his life. I
100% agree. You know, I think he would be one of the most fascinating people to sit down and
Oh my gosh.
And to do it, you know, the one thing that doesn't happen, especially in television interviews now, is, you know, people on different networks interview people through the lens of whatever the bent of that particular network is. And I would love to sit down with him and just crack the veneer of and just get to the heart of who he is as a person and probably how much he has changed and thought about life and thought about everything from democracy and to freedom to, you know, getting caught up in a movement. Whether or not, whatever you think about QAnon, it's a movement. You know, it's certainly something that has had a tremendous impact on the people who are part of that group and who pay attention to what's going on. And I wonder, I would love to sit down and have an extensive 30-minute, one-hour conversation with him and get to know him on a human level and get to know his perspective on how much has changed for him since January 6th of 2021.
Yeah, yeah, definitely, definitely. Have you ever had a personal one-on-one interaction with a QAnon person?
Yes, I have.
I have, too.
I have, and that person still interacts with me. Still, she'll send me letters and things like that.
Oh, right. Mm-hmm.
I have certainly had interactions with people. And there's a friend of mine that I knew from high school band whenever I was at Concord High School, you know, the neighboring city to Charlotte there, who is very active in QAnon and posts about it a lot on social media. So I've definitely had contact with people who have been on the periphery of my circle or whom I've met through being a television and radio host and that kind of thing, because you meet all kinds of people and you listen to all kinds of different perspectives.
Yeah. I got invited to give a speech back on the West Coast. And I realized very quickly as I was getting into my speech that that is exactly where I had been invited, and nobody told me.
And oh, wow. How did that go?
I'll tell the whole story at some point. It was alarming. It was freaky and kind of funny. Like, I can't explain it. I went to this thing under completely different pretenses. And I showed up and I'm just starting to give my speech and these people are reacting and I'm sitting there going, kind of like the, you know, when the Terminator can look through that bionic eye and be like, oh yeah, you're what? So I'm staring at him and I'm like, oh, I know where I am. Yes. That's why nobody's laughing at the jokes. Here we go.
Now I want to sit down and have a 30-minute interview with you.
We will do that. We will do that. I'm happy to do it anytime. I'll tell the sordid tale. What do you got coming up on the show tomorrow?
Tomorrow, John Hancock, as always, joins us in the 9 o'clock hour. But the big thing tomorrow, is the one-year anniversary of Good Morning PT.
Yep.
So we're going to share some fun moments, to look back at the past year from the beginning of the show until now, and some of our listeners' favorite moments, some of our favorite phone calls, some of the moments that were just fascinating interviews. It's going to be a really fun show. Plus, we'll have all the news headlines and the topics that we find interesting and entertaining, and will make you think, will make you smile. Everything you need to know as you're heading into work on your Friday.
All righty. Good stuff, Friday. Enjoy speaking with you, and we'll talk in the morning. Thanks so much, Beth.
You are one of my favorite hosts of the Brett Winterville Show.
Darn it, I knew it. I love that so much. Thank you so much, Beth Troutman. Enjoy the night. News Talk 1110, 993 WBG. And now my favorite afternoon traffic guy in the whole world, Boomer Von Cannon.
Man, do you mean I come out number one here, man?
You're number one.
Oh, come on, man.
That's it, man.
Come on. No, no way.
News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT. Brett Winterville Show. Here's a story that is surprising and yet not surprising. CBS executives have banned the word transgender from reports on the Nashville shooter. They say this is not journalism. That's what CBS News says. It goes just like this. Top executives at CBS News have banned staffers from using the word transgender while reporting on the Nashville shooter, despite the fact that police have said Audrey Hale was transgender and cited it as a key point in the case, according to the New York Post. The shooter's gender identity has not been confirmed by CBS News, the network's executives insisted in a Tuesday memo obtained by the Post. As such, we should avoid any mention of it, as it has no known relevance to the crime. Should that change, we can and will revisit. Do you think that the transgender identity has a relevance to the crime? Is it the motive? Who knows? But is it relevant to the conversation? The CBS News directive was delivered on a Tuesday morning editorial call by Ingrid Cyprian Matthews, the executive vice president of News Gathering, and Claudia Milne, senior vice president of Standards and Practices, according to the sources close to the Tiffany Network. Right now, we advise saying police identified the suspect as 28-year-old Audrey Hale, who they shot and killed at the scene. They spent 15 minutes on the call discussing the directive, which bewildered many journalists, given that the Metropolitan Nashville Police Chief John Drake said Hale was transgender and that her identity may be relevant to the motive. But CBS doesn't believe that. Help me understand this. This is an interesting sort of development, don't you think? Hey, it's an interesting development. Let's talk to David next. David, welcome to the show.
Hey, Brett. How you doing, Bob?
I'm well. Thanks for calling.
I'm just going to make a quick comment. One of the other callers was talking about how it's so difficult to find workers.
Yes.
Particularly workers that involve the trades.
Yes.
I don't understand this because that's where the money is. I mean, even a college degree these days, unless you go into engineering or business finance, or something other than some social, I don't know what you even call them these days, a worthless degree, basically.
Yeah, yes, yes.
They don't want to get dirty, I guess. They don't want to learn how to use tools. The problem is in another 20 years when all us old-timers retire, there's not going to be anybody around to fix things when they break.
That's true. That's 100% right. That's 100% right.
I got one other observation.
Yes.
You know, back in the old Soviet Union, everything was always in short supply.
Yep.
People had to stand in line for everything.
True.
There were certain items that just weren't available. But there was one item that the government made sure there was plenty of, and that was vodka.
Oh, yes.
The government knew that a man who came home from work every day and got drunk, he might complain about the way things are, but he will never do anything.
That is a huge point. And that, look, we're seeing that. Look at the epidemic of drug abuse in our country right now.
Exactly.
I mean,
that's where I was going with this.
Man, you are right.
You know, marijuana may seem harmless, but it takes away your drive. It takes away your ambition. It makes your ability to concentrate difficult.
Right.
It's probably one of the worst things a young person who has aspirations of getting a decent job or some technical field, it will destroy your brain.
Yeah.
And, you know, too many of these young kids, they're coming home from work, they burn one, and they play Call of Duty till 1 a.m.
Right. No, that's...
Instead of hitting the books.
Well,
it's just sad.
If nothing else, see, this is the thing that I've never understood. I've never been a marijuana guy, okay? It's never been my thing. In fact, I don't like the way it smells. So here's the question I have about that. We have known... You have known for 70 years that smoking will kill you. I mean, is that safe to say? Right? Since the 1940s?
Well, it brings up an interesting point, because if you put it to a national vote, cigarettes would be illegal and marijuana would be legal.
It would, but it's destroying your lungs. It's the same it's the same practical effect on your lungs. Okay.
So does cramming your face with Big Macs till you're four.
Oh, it does. That's an important point. And so, as a consequence, now you've got people. What you don't want to have happen, the way you know a society is dying, is when it gets demotivated. Okay, societies that like Rome in the 5th century was so screwed because what had happened in the 4th century and the 3rd century, Rome became demotivated. They were not motivated to maintain the empire, and it collapsed.
No, and well, what happened is the mercenaries that they were using that were
correct
outside of Rome.
That's
they
right.
Weren't getting paid.
They weren't.
And they got tired of looking at the Romans' lavish lifestyle, and they're sitting out there trying to find something to kill so they could eat.
That's correct.
They got tired of it, and so they sacked Rome.
Right. So I'm saying, like, if you go to Rome 100 years before the birth of Christ. And Rome in the 5th century, that is a drastically different setup. Okay, that was a country, an empire on the upswing, and then an empire in collapse. And if people think that America is immune to imperial collapse, that's a big mistake. Every single civilization that collapsed thought they were impervious to it. And eventually it happened.
Interesting sidebar is every country that has ever had the eagle as its national emblem has collapsed.
Oh, my gosh. You just freaked me out, David. Good stuff. I appreciate you being there, my friend. Wow. News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT. So should we add the turkey like Benjamin Franklin wanted, Anna? I mean, I don't know. What are we going to do? They're much more delicious than an eagle, I imagine.
I wouldn't know. I've never had an eagle.
I haven't either, but I know how delicious a turkey is.
That's true.
This is it. Well, here's the news, ladies and gentlemen. Just moving. Fox News reporting. Former President Trump has been indicted by Alvin Bragg's New York grand jury. Alvin Bragg has gotten the indictment that he sought under the orders of George Soros et al. So this is a big, big day for the folks over at CNN and MSNBC. New York grand jury indicts former President Donald Trump. And now we wait to see what's going to happen. Are they going to send the security over to go pick him up? How do you handle a former president who's got Secret Service protection? This is just breaking in the last few minutes. Former President Donald Trump indicted, according to Fox News Alert, indicted by the New York City grand jury there, Alvin Bragg's operation. So if you want to react to that, I don't have any details as to, you know, what the deal is, how it goes, what it is that they've done. People seem to be scrambling to try to get that information. But if you're just joining us here, they have indicted former President Trump in New York for one would believe it's the hush money payments that were paid to Stormy Daniels. And so now we wait and see. Yeah, you have to understand that part of the strategy here was to get him indicted so that you could get him convicted under the argument that then he couldn't run to be president. He doesn't seem to have any desire to back down or move away from this. And it turns out what's so interesting now is that when he predicted this 2 weeks ago, he turned out to be right that they were going to indict him. He was just off by the week. And so here you go, New York City grand jury indicting former President Trump. We'll continue to monitor and follow this. If you want to react, if you have a thought, if you want to comment about this, the telephone number 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. Indictment doesn't mean conviction. There would have to be a trial. There has to be a number of processes that take place here. But that's the latest on this. March the 30th, 2023, at about 5:36 in the afternoon. One of the other things that's out there moving at the same time, and we'll certainly effort to try to get more information on this. And as we do get more information, we'll be able to jump in there. I want to talk about something that's important that's local. But before I do that, I want to do something else here. You know, you've given me so many happy days here behind this microphone. I want to make you happy, and I want to have it involve a microphone. That's why I want to give away. I want to give away a pair of tickets, and I'm going to give away a pair of tickets to the Winery Dogs, Mike Portnoy, Billy Sheehan, Richie Coates. And the concert is going to be at the Underground this coming Sunday night, April the 2nd. Caller number eight at 704-570-1110. Caller number eight, you're going to get those tickets. You're going to enjoy that show. You're going to have a great time because you know what's awesome about this? Rock and roll. I mean, look at the folks in this band. Mr. Big, Poison. I mean, Dream Theater right there. Rock and roll at its finest. Rock and roll royalty in many ways. 704-570-1110, and that's going to be caller number eight is going to win those tickets because we want you to have fun. Life is about fun. Now, I want to talk about this decision that you heard Anna talking about. Parents questioning where Charlotte Mecklenburg school students will soon learn. Many parents who attended that meeting have shared that they have many questions as to where their kids are going to be learning in the 2024 to 2025 school year. Charlotte Mecklenburg school leaders shared their draft of the South County Relief Schools plan during a meeting at Myers Park High School on Monday night. And many parents who attended the meeting say they have a lot of questions. They're concerned. They're worried. Laura Grant, a parent of two CMS students, said she's concerned that with the proposed boundary and feeder changes, her two teens will be going to two different high schools. That's terrible. I mean, I'm sorry, but that's just really terrible. Grant also shared that she is not aware of a grandfathering system in place for students who already attend Myers Park. Now, if they make you leave your high school to go to another high school in the middle of your high school career, that is rotten. That is That is rotten if they're doing that. I'm sorry. Maybe I want to find out if that's the case or not. Now, it would potentially be disrupting families. I would potentially have a senior at one school and a freshman at a different school. The South County Relief Plan involves changing where students will potentially go to elementary, middle, and high school, dividing students to separate schools depending on where they fall within the proposed map. There are also other concerns Grant has when it comes to the plan. And that's why she was over at that meeting. This is WBTV reporting this a couple of days ago. Some parents are concerned about whether IB programs will still be offered at the schools, how the district will find the resources to staff the district's ideas for new and current schools. There hasn't been enough time for feedback. There's a new board. There's no superintendent. How are you going to make these changes happen? That's a legitimate question. It's a legitimate question and a little legitimate bit of concern there for sure. Anytime you live in an area where things start to split and you end up with a new school being built here, a new school being built there, I had that happen to me actually in sixth grade. We were a K through six school, and I went K through five, and then they in my sixth grade year they moved me into a sixth grade brand new school, which actually really kind of stunk. I'm not going to lie. It was not the magic that you would hope it would be when you're graduating in sixth grade. You have plans for the future. You want to get out there to the coast. You want to live life, party hardy, all that sort of stuff. Eat Pop Rocks. But it was tough when they moved me in sixth grade. I was pretty bitter. I was bitter pretty much all through junior high. But then again, it's middle school and everybody hates middle school. I mean, if you peaked in middle school, you're a special person. Most people just go through middle school like, holy cow, this is just misery. But you know, you look at this and you see when people move things around like this, and that's the really frustrating thing, right? Because when you've got siblings, when you've got a legacy, when you've got you know, all the experiences that you've had. You know, that's bananas. You know, it's kind of cool when you have a younger brother or sister who gets to have those experiences that you had. And that to me is a real shame, because the coolest thing is to be that kid coming up behind the older kid, because you inherit friends, you inherit relationships, all that kind of stuff. And I didn't like that at all. It was actually very, very, it was a terrible time. I'm sorry I brought it up. 704-570-1110 News Talk 1110 99.3 WBT. I mean, come on now, Boomer.
I'm with you, man.
I mean, that's hard to get moved around.
Especially at high school. Man.
You know the worst thing about it? If you get moved while your sibling graduates and then you go to another school, mm-hmm. you have no actionable intelligence on how the teachers treat you. New teachers.
All new. Gosh, no.
News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT. President Trump's attorney, former President Trump's attorney, says that President Trump has been informed of the indictment that was handed down from Alvin Bragg's grand jury earlier today. This is tied to the Stormy Daniels hush money case. A Manhattan grand jury has now voted to indict Trump. This is the breaking news of this hour. Simultaneously, while this is happening, federal judges ordered Pence to testify in a special counsel probe investigating Donald Trump. Trump has called the Manhattan DA's probe a new way of cheating in elections. That's one of the storylines that you've heard from him in the last few days. So this is a big story. And remember, Alvin Bragg went on radio on Hot 97 in New York City back in 2021, vowing that he was going to indict Donald Trump, and it was going to be, you know, no matter what, he was going to get the indictment attached to him. So this is a situation where it's going to be very interesting to see how this all goes, how this stuff plays out. and we'll have to see what ends up happening here. It's the very first time an American president, current or former, will face criminal charges. That's actually an interesting development, because now a precedent has been set that you can indict a former president, and I can think of probably two or three that could potentially then face indictment of both the current and former presidents. I think this is a possibility that we may see additional action, especially given the investigations into China, the investigations into the money that went to Hunter Biden. There's a lot of possibilities here. And you know, you got to be careful what you wish for, because sometimes when you get it, you ultimately end up getting it. Jack is up first. Jack, welcome to the show.
Well, I don't see nothing wrong with a man getting a piece on the side.
Okay, and what's your point? How are you adding to the program today, Jack?
I know
you're not. See, because you're not adding to it. See, this is, let me give you a caller clinic here, okay? I get it. You called and you said there's nothing wrong with a man getting a piece on the side. No, what you want to do is you want to come on the program and you want to kind of elevate. That's not elevating. And I really wish you'd elevate it. I'm sorry, but he hung up. I did not hang up on him. He hung up. I did not hang up on him. And, you know, I'll take his point. Let me take his point and let me elevate his point for him. It's this. If there is something that you can control, it is whether or not you step out on your wife. Fact. That is the one thing a man can control. And that is one thing a woman can control. You can decide whether or not you're going to engage in fidelity or infidelity. Now, if you don't engage in infidelity and you don't expose yourself to a shakedown, a lawsuit, party to a lawsuit, then you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to worry that someone's going to come for you and say, I'm suing you because you busted up my marriage, or I'm suing you because you put a move on me, or you harassed me, or any of that sort of stuff. And I understand celebrities oftentimes get accused for things, and sometimes they didn't do them. But I'm just saying, if you want to avoid going down that road, just avoid going down that road. I love what Zig Ziglar famously said, and it's such a simple, basic, easy to understand take. Zig Ziglar said he never once in his whole life ever accidentally ate a chocolate cake. It means you've got control. And if you engage in behavior that's going to be risky, that's a problem. And it goes for anybody. I mean, this isn't just about a president. It's about in general. If you want to avoid consequences, avoid the things that will bring about consequences in your life. Now, I still think Alvin Bragg is playing fast and loose. He went to the most corrupt district that you could in the entire country, which is New York City, Manhattan. These are all ideological maniacs. And now we get to see what happens when they go to court, because it's one thing to indict somebody there in New York City. It's something else to get a conviction when you have the sort of legal firepower that Trump's going to be deploying. And I think Alvin Bragg's going to be really, really famous for a long time. Steve, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, thanks.
Good. Well, I mean, what's going on is like an abomination of the political system. I mean, they've been after this man for 5 years, and like, it's so sad that certain people could get away with things and they nitpick him, and it's just, it's enough's enough. I mean, the late night talk shows still talk about it. It's ridiculous. I mean, it's all it does is help him, but this is just absurd what's happening.
Yeah. I had a lawyer on earlier this week who said he doesn't think if they get through the indictment, he doesn't think this thing is going to pass muster. It's very likely that you're going to get a federal judge step in here and be like, yo, there's no case.
Yeah,
okay. There's
the thing is they got documents of checking accounts and the Biden's got so much money, but that's okay.
That's right. Well, no. See, now this is, think about it this way though, Steve. This is sort of a positive, right? So they just nicked Donald Trump, right? They just got him. and they indicted him. So guess what? Now you can indict Joe Biden, can't you? Because he's a sitting president.
Yeah,
so
I
think
about the political system. I mean, it seems like they got
Listen. The sun doesn't shine on the same dog's butt every day. I mean, that's it. All right, TJ and Tommy, great work. I'll be in for Mark Garrison straight ahead. We'll take your calls. Thanks to all of you for listening. Stick around. I'm Brett Winterbull in for Charlotte at 6. News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT.